I'm Megan Kamrick with news about women from around the world. This week in women's history, on December 14, 1961, the Presidential Commission on the Status of Women was created. It was led by Eleanor Roosevelt. A planned march in Washington by women the day after the presidential inauguration finally has a permit. The Washington Post reported there are an estimated 200,000 participants. It will start in front of the Capitol and end at the southern part of the ellipse near the White House. The original plans were to rally near the Lincoln Memorial, but organizers couldn't get permits from the National Park Service, which said it waits until the Presidential Inauguration Committee maps out its events. The president of the University of Minnesota is standing by a decision to suspend 10 players over an alleged sexual assault, even as players are boycotting all football activities ahead of a bowl game as a result. ESPN reported Eric Kaler said his decision was based on the university's values. The district attorney declined to prosecute the case because of a lack of physical evidence, but a report by the school's Equal Opportunity and Affirmative Action Office said four of the players violated the university's sexual assault provisions in its conduct code. Others violated the sexual harassment policy, and all violated the student conduct code. It recommended expulsion for four of the players. The woman said she was sexually assaulted while drunk in a player's apartment. She told the EEOA that as many as 10 to 20 men had sex with her, and at various times she tried to push them off and stop what was happening. In Egypt, authorities have arrested Azza Solomon, a lawyer and founder of the Center for Egyptian Women's Legal Assistance. Human Rights Watch announced the arrest is part of an escalation against independent rights in the country. Solomon was released after posting bail but remains under investigation. She was previously banned from traveling outside the country and had her personal assets and those of her organization frozen by the central bank. Human Rights Watch said this was part of a drive to criminalize independent human rights work. A top official from the African Union called on the government of South Sudan to find and punish soldiers who sexually abused women in the last 3 years of conflict in the country. Voice of America reported Benita Diop, the African Union's special envoy for women, peace, and security, met with activists and government officials about protecting women's rights in South Sudan recently. South Sudanese women launched 16 days of protests against sexual violence, which has become widespread in the country. CBS News reports rape is being used as a tool for ethnic cleansing by government soldiers and has reached epic proportions, with 70% of women in Juba having experienced sexual assault since the civil war began in 2013. A UN team called for an investigation to collect evidence for future prosecutions. The UN has warned the stage is being set for a Rwanda-like genocide in the country. For the first time in U.S. history, women make up the majority of law students. The New York Times reports there are now more than 55,700 women enrolled in Juris Doctor programs around the country, compared to about 55,000 men, according to the American Bar Association. First-year students are more than 51% women, and men make up about 48%. Women in the past have earned more than half of the college degrees, but lagged men in applying for law school. Schools have done more outreach to women as they face pressure to ratchet up requirements for entry. The Times reports the outreach brought more qualified applicants. It's less clear, however, if these higher enrollment figures will bring advantages to women in the law profession. The United Nations has dropped Wonder Woman as its honorary ambassador. CNN reports this comes 2 months after the announcement that she would help promote the UN campaign to achieve gender equity and empower women and girls. The use of the comic book heroine brought protests from many UN employees who said she was not culturally encompassing or sensitive. A spokesman said the plan was to end the campaign on December 16th, and this was not due to protests. A protest petition garnered 44,000 signatures, but another petition was launched by a teen girl in Mexico who said she loves Wonder Woman's message of peace, justice, and gender equality. In Australia, a coroner ruled an Aboriginal woman who died in custody after 3 visits to the hospital was subject to unprofessional and inhumane treatment by police. Her death and resulting investigation have become a rallying point for Aboriginal rights in the country. The BBC reported Ms. Du, whose full name is not used for cultural reasons, was arrested in August 2014 for unpaid fines in a remote mining town. She complained of rib pain and was taken to a hospital in Port Hedland, but a doctor found no signs signs of infection and deemed her symptoms were due to, quote, behavioral issues. She was taken there again the next day with more pain, but was not given a chest x-ray and her temperature was not checked. She continued to decline and was taken a third time to the clinic where she died of pneumonia and septicemia. The coroner ruled she received deficient care. Her family is pushing for someone to be held accountable. And a new film highlights the crucial roles played by African-American women in getting white male astronauts into space at NASA. Hidden Figures is based on the book of the same name, reported NPR. The women were referred to as human computers and worked as mathematicians and engineers in the segregated South during the early days of the space program. 98-year-old Katherine Johnson is the only surviving member of this remarkable group and was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2015. She played a key role in the mission of John Glenn, who became the first American to orbit the Earth. She calculated the trajectories for his mission. The film stars Taraji P. Henson as Johnson. It also stars Octavia Spencer and Janelle Monáe. And in New Mexico news, U.S. Representative Michelle Lujan Grisham says she's running for governor of New Mexico in 2018. The Associated Press reported she's the first contender to enter the race. Second-term GOP Governor Susana Martinez can't run again in 2018 because of term limits. Lujan Grisham described a long list of social and economic problems afflicting New Mexico and emphasized her political qualifications as a two-term congresswoman and former head of New Mexico's Department of Health. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick.